boxed, ready for Saturday morning's Greyhound Racing Wrap. Across Victoria, RSN 927 is talking greyhounds.
That we definitely are, and g'day from JT. Welcome to another edition of Talking Greyhounds. Simone Fisher's having a well-earned break, travelling somewhere overseas. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. But from Sandown Greyhound Racing Club, Jason Adams is back with me today. How are you, Jace?
Very well, John. And second week, I'm keeping the seat warm for Simone, so she'll be back next week. But another big week in greyhound racing, of course, up in Queensland. We had another Group 1 race up there and a good night at Sandown on Thursday too. So a lot going on. It's another good week to be in the studio.
Yeah, plenty of greyhound racing action. What's been making news this week in the world of pups, Jace?
Well, a bit on the agenda, of course. At the time of this recording for this show, the Bendigo Cup would have been already run and won. So if you're keen to find out all the information around that and the colour, head to grv.org.au. On Thursday night, as I said, we had a Group 1 race ran at Albion Park in Queensland. It was won by Jury. We were speaking off air before JT about the punters didn't miss him at all. I spoke about it last week. I thought he might have been the value in the race with Hasten slowly beginning well, cutting off the Punga Blazer, who unfortunately has had a back muscle out of that race. So that's unfortunate after such a long period of being injury ridden. He's got another one to get over there. Probably maybe the official retirement. Already been retired. He might be retired again. But Jury, nothing taking away from his win there. Punters didn't miss him. $8 into about $4. And his second Group 1 win at the track. Of course, he won the national sprint at Albion Park last year. It's his home track. And used box one to advantage. It was very good. And Tony Brett's his sixth Group 1 Winter Cup. It's an amazing achievement. That he's a great fellow. He's one of the great people of our industry. And very good to see him having some more success. Also on Thursday night, the Group 2 McKenna Memorial Heats at Sandown Park. And they were very, very good. Just the four of them, but they were strong. They were highlighted by Tornado Tears, who won the first heat in 34-12. And just the way he won it, JT, I'm not sure if you've seen the replay at all, but it was like he had a jockey on his back. He was just waiting for that right time to really strike, let loose down the straight, and was a very impressive winner. Heat 2 went to Out of Range, who was good. Luckless a week prior, but made up for it on Thursday night. Van Ann, I thought, was good in heat number 3. Challenged by Hecton Bale. Hecton Bale took over, and he's really a type that doesn't get run down over the 500 or over the 600, but Van Ann was very good, defeated him in the run to the line, and the final heat was taken out by Neo Cleo, who led all the way, broke through 34 seconds and was the fastest heat winner. And he, her trainer, I should say, Rob Neocleus, will be speaking to him shortly to get all the lowdown on Neo Cleo and how she's pulled up out of the run. There's also an event that GRV have announced, another Gap Adoption Day, and they're very popular, as we know, and now it heads down towards the Gippsland region at Warragul. It's on Sunday, the 5th of August at 11 a.m. They expect they'll have at least 25 greyhounds available there. So a new region, and no doubt many greyhounds, if not all, would be picked up through that day.
No question.
Absolutely. And a carryover from last week. I didn't get to mention this one last week, that the minimum bet rule, it's something that GRV has announced in the last week. We'll be speaking to one of our big punters, Michael Tye, shortly. He's all over this, and it's certainly a good thing for the industry. We'll touch on more about that shortly.
I think it's important that the punters, and this doesn't affect the average punter, Jase. This is just the high end, but to know that you can actually get a bet on and it can't be refused for any reason.
Absolutely, and it's something that doesn't apply to probably people like you or I, but the big players who, from my time in greyhound racing, there's always been a lot of people who come to you and say, I couldn't get on, or my account's been shut down, I can't get on. This is something that gets around that. So what it is if I place a bet with a bookmaker, they have to know who I am. So you can't do it through an EBT terminal in a retail shop. It's got to be online. So they can't refuse that. No matter who it is, they can't refuse that, up to them losing $750 for a metropolitan race and for a country race, $500. So it's a good thing for those people who pour a lot of money into the industry. Of course, wagering is a big part of our sport, and I think this is a good rule for the sport. It's already been in place in other codes. I think it's been overdue in greyhound racing.
And going back to the future, when you go to the track and there would be a host of bookies, as there would have been when I was your age, Jason, yep. Bold Trees was running around, you'd have maybe 30, 40 bookmakers on track at Sandown on a Thursday night, and they had a minimum bet rule. So if you went up, you could place a bet. I forget, but I think it was about 250 in that era, yep. And they had to set you.
along with the concession rule, John, which from what I know about it, that was gold.
Concession,
I wish it was back around now.
I just love concession betting. If you're able to be a sharpshooter, and the way concession betting worked is you took a shorter price for the win, but if your greyhound ran second and third in a field of eight, you got your stake back.
Sounds good to me.
It's insurance. All right, let's hit the phones now on this week's edition of Talking Greyhounds.
What's making news around the kennels?
You're listening to Talking Greyhounds here on RSN 927. Who is our first guest, Jason?
Well, we've got Rob Neoclius, who's the trainer of Neo Cleo, who was very, very impressive on Thursday night in a heat at the McKenna Memorial. Drawn box number three in the final, and Rob joins us on the line. Rob, welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you very much.
You must be absolutely stoked with the way your little girl won on Thursday night. Gee, she showed some toe, Rob.
Yeah, I think she ran the fastest split and the fastest overall out of the four heats, so she can't do much more than that, and she's going really well at the moment.
It's a bit of a special situation for you, Rob. Of course, there wouldn't be many greyhounds in this field that have a trainer that also owns them and also bred her as well. You must be pretty proud with the way she's come about. I remember I spoke to you in December when she really appeared on the middle distance scene. She went 34.09. And speaking to you, you said she may be one of the best greyhounds that you've ever had. About 6-7 months on now, do you still have that same opinion of her?
I still have, yes. She's got that much ability. She's got to get out on the lure, and she can, as you've seen last night, the time she can run. And there's not a lot of dogs that break the 34 at Sandown, and she's done that. So, she's a pretty special little girl for me.
And leading up to a final like this one next Thursday night, a Group 2 race, the McKenna Memorial Final, throughout the week coming, do you have a different feeling throughout the week letting the dogs out? Is there a bit more of a buzz around the kennel?
No, I try to stop the same routine, what happens during the week sort of thing. It's always a buzz when you make a group final, but other than that, I won't change nothing with a routine during the week.
And she's come up with box number three. Of course, Tornado Tears is in box number four on your outside. Have you had a good look at the field, one, and two, what do you think your chances are?
I've had a look at the field. It's a strong field. It's eight dogs in the field, and I think any one of the eight dogs could win. And you've got Tornado Fields. He's an absolutely freak. Jason Thompson's got two smart dogs in there as well. And but if I can begin the way she did last night and she's out in front, well, my fingers will be crossed.
And, Rob, if she was to come out and win on Thursday night, how would that win stack up in terms of some of the best you've had in your training career?
Be right up there. I've made a lot of group finals over the years, but I haven't actually cracked one as yet. But I've run placings in the Warragul Cup and Trialgon Cup and a lot of numerous country cups, but I haven't won one there, so I'd be over the moon if she got up and won.
You bred her, Rob. When you were breaking her in, when did you show something, or when did you see something that you had a good chaser on your hands?
Yeah, I broke the whole litter in the, myself, which I always do with my own dogs. She had two hand slips around Trialgon the first two times behind the lure, and the first time I put her out of the box, she over the 300 at Trialgon, she run winning time. So. She has always showed me. When she was 15 months, I took her for the first time to Warragul, and I couldn't believe what the clock read. It read 22:40, the first go at 15 months old. So she's always showed me a heap of ability.
And Rob, you obviously bred the litter. It's a litter of five, and not only is it Neo Cleo who's a gun out of the litter, it's a whole litter full of talent and full of strength. You must be happy with the way the rest of them are going as well.
Yes, they're all, there's a, you know, a couple in the litter what's a bit above average, but the other three are holding their own, you know, in country tracks and, you know, Sunday meetings at Sandown. They've all won down at Sandown. So, I couldn't be more happier than the way they're all going.
And with regard to Neo Cleo, Rob, is it one race at a time, or do you have any targets in mind?
No, I just... one race at a time. We'll worry about next Thursday night first, then we'll just have a look at what's coming up and where to place her.
Well, Rob, you've got a lovely little pup there. She is very, very genuine, very, very speedy. We wish you all the best next Thursday night in the McKenna. Thanks for being on Talking Greyhounds.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
All Greyhounds, every Saturday, across Victoria. RSN 927 is Talking Greyhounds.
And Jase Tab Quick with a market up for the McKenna Memorial. Tornado Tears, $220. Out of Range, $4. Neo Clio, who sizzled the clock, $480. Hecton Bale at $8.50. This isn't a walk in the park for Tornado Tears.
No, it's not, but with a greyhound like him, you kind of almost expect the bookmakers to be a little bit safe. I think that $220, we wouldn't have seen a price for, like that for him for some time, I reckon. He's obviously drawn awkwardly. But speaking to Peter Riley last night, of course, who's a representative from the Royal Britain Kennel, he said he's had a very, very light week. They just wanted him to get through to the final, and then he's going to have a normal week leading up to the final, and we're going to see the best of him, I think. If he begins well, can't be beaten. Cannot be beaten at $2.20, but look, we saw last night, on Thursday night, I should say, if he gets midfield, he can still win. I think that $2.20 will come in. The ones around him, Neo Clio, of course, she's beginning so well at the moment. We just spoke to Robney Oakley. She's $4.80. Van Ann, $10, who's drawn well again in box number one. And then looking to the outside, Hecton Bale at $8.50. Don't think he can win the race from out there. Although he does like the draw, it's a different level coming from his heat into the final. So Tornado Tears, a little bit surprised, $2.20.
It's fascinating to think what they actually do with him. I think he's not brilliant enough or seasoned enough to go back like a Fanta Bale to a sprint trip.
No.
But the 595, 600, 715, 725, that is right in his wheelhouse.
I think this is his optimum distance. His sprint, we saw him, the last time he was in a sprint race was in the launching pad final from memory where it was obvious that he had a lot of ability. He was slow to begin. He got home hard, but as soon as he stepped up, he went from the 5.15 straight up to the 7.15. That's where we saw him come out and run 41.20, just out of control. But I think the 5.95 is optimum distance. He's got speed to lead those races. He's very strong. So, yeah, look, he's going to be hard to beat, I think. Box 4 is not going to be too much of a trouble for him. He's a freak of nature and, without doubt, the best greyhound in the country at the moment.
It's just phenomenal to think that that Rob Britton has just retired Fanta Bale, but he had this bloke lurking at home.
Yeah, and he would have known that too. He picks him a long way out.
Oh, yeah.
Mick Floyd last week put together a bit of a comparison after 20 starts with Tornado Tears, Fanta Bale, Donna Double One and Fernando Bale, and look, Tornado Tears is on par, if not ahead of them after 20 starts, so he's got a lot ahead of him. He's not invincible, he can be beaten, but he's a freak of nature, and if he goes on to keep doing what he's doing already, well, it's going to be scary to think what he ends up with.
Just look out. We'll take a break here on Talking Greyhounds on RSN 927 and Talking Greyhounds Today, presented by Christmas in July at the Meadows. I love this. Enjoy the lip-smacking Christmas buffet for just $45. And, of course, exhilarating greyhound racing every Saturday night in July. You can book now, 93555222. Marg Long will take your phone call or jump online to themeadows.org.au.
Love your doggies. The Greyhound Leader. RSN 927. Doggy News. From start to finish. RSN 927 is Talking Greyhounds.
With JT and Jason Adams from Sandown Greyhound Racing in the studio this Saturday morning. Run of the week, Jace.
Easy option, but I've gone with Tornado Tears on Thursday night. He was just stunning in the opening heat of the McKenna Memorial. I thought, looking on trackside and working at the club and trying to make a fist and promote these big races, you want the big guns to get through. And when he was midfield, I thought, got to do a bit of work here, and that's exactly what he did. And James Vandermaat said after the call, he said it was just like he had a jockey on his back. It was exactly like that. He pulled the trigger at exactly the right time. There's plenty of greyhounds who win in that fashion. There's not many who win in that fashion when they're running fast time. He still went 34-12. So, look, we speak about him all the time. He's a freak. I thought he was very good on Thursday night. Did what he had to do to get through to next week. And then we should see him pull the trigger and be at his very, very best.
Yeah, it's just one of those greyhounds that just has what I call race smarts. He seems to know what's going to happen and then can anticipate.
A bit like his brother, Rip and Sam. Yeah. Like being run on stayer like that, you don't win as many races as what he did without having to know how to navigate through the traffic rather than just running up bums, which we've seen many do in the past. But race smart, and that's what the champions are.
Dogs to follow. How did we go last week?
Last week we had a Wise PK who won two Thursday nights back at Sandown Park. He's not drawn anywhere at the moment, but I think certainly one to keep following. I expect he will step up in trip sooner or later, and does look like he's got a lot of strength and a lot of talent.
Okay, so keep a watch out on Wise PK when he draws a race. What about one to follow for this week, Jace?
Well, there's one out of Sandown Park on Thursday night just gone, out of the maiden final. It was Often Imitated, her name is. She's had two career starts for two wins, the maiden heat and the maiden final. Gone quick, 29.49, 29.64, but just a fashion she's won. I mean, she's won it from box seven, box one. Speared out of the boxes, run fast time, and looks like Brad Greenough. He hasn't been training for that long. Of course, he took out his first winner with Salute the Judge a couple of months back, and now he looks like he's got a very smart one on his hands as well, and very well-bred. KC and all, of course, the American sire with the mum, Sweet It Is. So we're well aware of what her credentials were on the racetrack, and looks like the Greenough camp have a very smart one here with Often Imitated.
Keep a watch out for that pup. And what about a best bet this weekend?
Best bet. Well, look, tonight, race 11, number 8 at the Meadows. Kulu Lightning, who was a winner from the same draw on the 30th of June, went 30-10 on that occasion. This thing tonight, she's got Rick 55 on her inside, who's a slow beginner and loves a hunt to the fence. So she's going to get room. She's not a totally reliable beginner, but she's strong. If she does get that room, she should be able to muster a bit of speed. I think the danger in the race is probably number 4, Junior Wizard, who's not long back from a long spell. He's really building back to some of his best work. But race 11, number 8 tonight, Kulu Lightning at the Meadows.
All right, that is the best bet tonight at the Meadows. We've got a bit of a wait, but let's hope it is a sweet wait. Let's hit the phones.
What's making news around the kennels?
This is big news, Jace. The other two codes have introduced minimum bet policies, and now GRV are going to introduce the same for the greyhounds. And it's not too far away because this will come in August 1.
Yeah, right on our doorstep. And it's a great thing for the industry to have something like this brought in. As you said, JT, the other two codes already have something in place, and to bring one into greyhound racing is overdue. As I said earlier on the show, there's a lot of people who say my account's been shut down, can't get on, etc. So this is a very good thing. And to speak a bit more about it in depth is an avid greyhound punter in Michael Tighe. Michael joins us. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Jace. Morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
Not a worry in the world. This is a good outcome for greyhound punters, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, definitely. So basically, these wagering service providers from August 1, as Jace said, will have to accept a fixed odd bet at odds that are displayed on their website. So from the bookies' point of view, for non-metro races, they'll have to let the punter on and have them lose $500, and for the metro races to lose $750. So basically, if you're having a bet at Shepparton on a Monday night, you'll be able to have $100 on it on a $6 pop, and basically they'll have to take it, obviously, with a few conditions that we'll go through.
Is that enough, Michael? Because I was speaking to a fellow you'd know, Ken McKenzie, about it, and he's obviously very pleased that it's come in, but the $750 for a metropolitan race, the $500 for a country race, do you think that meets the expectations of what people would have hoped for a policy like this when it came in?
The answer's probably yes and no, Jace. Firstly, like GRV, it's definitely to be commended on introducing this MBL. They're the first state to do so for greyhound racing. And yeah, it is long overdue for punters to get more of a fair go. Obviously, the higher the betting turnover, the better it is for the greyhound industry. I suppose the main disappointment for me, there's two of them really, is that if I had a dollar for every time I heard that the greyhound code has taken over Harness as the number two, yet Harness have 1,000 minimum bet limit on metro meetings, whereas we've only gone with the 750. So I suppose that's probably my main disappointment. And in addition, the two-hour provision that they've got is also going to be pretty tricky given that predominantly greyhound races are at night.
Yeah, you mentioned that two-hour rule. So what it is, this minimum bet rule is only triggered, I guess, 2 hours before race one of a race meeting. So I think in thoroughbred racing, theirs is from 9 a.m. in the morning.
Correct, onwards. Yeah, it's a 9 o'clock kickoff.
And you probably know a bit more about this, JT, that there's a lot of traffic after that period. Mm-hmm. For a certain 10-minute block, a lot of money pours in. And Michael, with this, obviously we speak about that 9 a.m. time slot where the money really pours in gallops. 2 hours out from the first race, for example, a Thursday night at the moment at Sandown Park at 4 o'clock. Do you think we're going to see that high traffic and a lot of fluctuations like we do in thoroughbred racing?
Honestly, it's definitely going to be really fascinating to see how it first plays out the first few weeks. Unfortunately, I do think there will be a bit of chaos. And the part that worries me is that a lot of the corporates open up their markets at 130, 140%, which is really, really poor for the punter, obviously. And people still seem to be diving in and taking these odds early, almost like a race to see who can get on first. And that's really, really bad.
Why is that bad, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, because people are just taking too shorter odds. If they let the market settle a bit more, so I suppose it's a patience game if you've got the kahuna, so to speak, to let it play out and let the market settle closer to 100% and you'll get better odds. But whether that happens or not is going to be fascinating to see.
And why do you think, like I mentioned before about people having complaints about their account shutting down, is this a great tool for those people who have made those complaints in the past? Is this why this policy has been introduced?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, these wagering service providers have been getting away with murder for too long, really. Like, a lot of punters, all they ask for is a fair go, especially on the dogs. They seem to get shut down more quicker than you would on, say, thoroughbreds. As I said, yeah, GRV are definitely to be commended on implementing this. Let's say on a Thursday night stand down, if you like a $8 pop, you might have $100 on through Tabcorp, and then you might have $100 on through Corporate Y, and then another $100 on through Corporate X. All of a sudden, you've got $300 or $400 on at $8, which is really a fair go, and that's all we want.
Yeah, and I think for the people you've spoken with, I know Eddie Caruana's been a great push behind getting this thing in place. Where are you going to be on August the 1st? Are you going to be watching the first meeting that opens up?
Yeah, definitely, Jace. Like I said, I'll either be cringing or rejoicing. I'm just not sure. I think it's going to take a few weeks to sort of see what people are doing and how they're playing. But obviously, you know, the great game that it is, it's just going to be a wait and see job. And hopefully, the trigger fingers on some punters who bet too early, hopefully they can refrain from doing so, and just seeing what happens with the market is probably my number one advice.
I suppose what it does also do, Mike, is in that couple of hours leading up to the start of a meeting, if a punter thinks that is the correct price, it'll put liquidity into the market, which it desperately needs.
Exactly. Like some of the country meetings, say Hillsville on a Friday or something, there's not much liquidity in that pool. So anything that can encourage more betting is obviously great. And I suppose the number one thing that the corporates have got to do is make sure that they do let punters on August 1st, and I definitely recommend flooding their lines. If they're not doing so, call them and demand that your account be opened back up before going any further with it anyway.
I think they're going to be pretty good, though. Looking at this policy, if there is something that takes place in a situation like Michael's referring to, there's a complaints email. You can go to racefieldsadmin@grv.org.au. You can go there if something's up gone wrong, but it should be all sweet. The minimum bet policy in place August 1st. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. I'm mostly looking forward to the flux of the market. As soon as that 2 hours clicks over before a race, I think that's going to be very exciting. But Michael, thanks for joining us.
You guys. Thanks, John.
All Greyhounds, every Saturday, across Victoria. RSN 927 is Talking Greyhounds.
Interesting chat there with Michael Tyson. Minimum bet rules from August 1. Talking Greyhounds today, presented by Christmas in July at the Meadows. Enjoy the lip-smacking Christmas buffet and electrifying greyhound racing every Saturday night up to the Maturity Classic final night, July 28. You can book now 93555222 or jump on the website themeadows.org.au. We're about to wrap up the show. Jace, what's happening this week?
A lot going on, of course, as we've discussed. The McKenna Memorial Final Thursday night at Sandown Park. Group 2 event. We see the megastar of Australian greyhound racing, Tornado Tears, engaged. Going to be great to see him go around again next Saturday. The heats of the maturity, I'm sure Simone will comment further on that on next week's show. And up in Queensland, of course, it's been a massive 5 or 6 weeks up there with a lot of great racing, but this kind of puts the cherry on top. They've got a State of Origin series, and the fields are just hot off the press. So representing Queensland, we've got Jury, of course, won the Group 1 Winter Cup on Thursday night. Slick, Bubble Guppy, Morris Minor, they're the sprinters for the stayers for Queensland. Champagne Sally, Jalapeno, Double G, and Shoes to Fill. A match race as well. It's Dylan taking on 2x2 from New South Wales over the sprint. A couple of highlights from the New South Wales team. Rowan Hill over the sprint. Also, Ebi Ripper and Shabini, of course, the one that created headlines a couple of weeks back with that massive run at Wentworth Park. So that's Thursday night at Albion Park. That's going to be very intriguing. And for more details on that, head to racingqueensland.com.au.
Well played, team up in Queensland. Hey, that's our show. Jase, well done the last 2 weeks.
Been a pleasure. Anytime you need me, I'll be here. But it's keeping the seat warm for some own professional back in the seat next week.
In the meantime, you keep those tails wagging. Thanks, Jase. Jason Adams there from Sandown Greyhound Racing Club. Well, that's it for Talking Greyhounds today. JT saying good morning. Short break coming up, and then the dynamic duo in to talk about Tabcorp Park Melton tonight. Vic Bread Super Series, what a cracking night coming up.
We'll be uploading the best of today's Talking Greyhounds to rsn.net.au.